Victoria Police Force presents D-24. From the files of the Victoria Police, for the first time, come these true stories of unceasing war against crime, of day and night vigilance that protects our life and our property, and of the nerve center of the Police Information Bureau, D-24.
Getting cold feet, are you, Jake?
No, I'm not.
And you wouldn't turn copper, would you?
Of course I wouldn't.
That's all right, then. But don't forget, I'm watching you. And if you start getting yellow, I'll fix you.
This is the true story of the death of a burglar. This is a true story from the files of the Victoria Police. Only names, place names, and dates have been altered. It was a beautiful autumn day. There wasn't a cloud in the sky, hardly a breath of wind. A wonderful day to be alive. But Stanley Taylor wasn't thinking of these things, for he was in jail for life. He'd killed a man, and he was paying the penalty. But this lovely day was the one he'd chosen to make a break for freedom. He'd planned it all carefully. First, he'd taken a small block of wood, whittled it into the shape of a pistol, and painted it black. He knew where a workman had left a ladder near one of the outer walls. All he wanted was one of the warder's rifles. And with his dummy pistol in his pocket, he waited his opportunity.
What do you think you're doing, Taylor?
I twisted my ankle bad. Give us a hand, will you?
How'd you do that?
I just twisted it, that's all. Oh, crikey, it hurts. Help us over to that bench, will you?
Yes, all right. Give me your arm.
Yeah. Now, don't move, mate. This is a gun in your ribs.
What?
And shut up. Well, you'll get it.
You wouldn't dare.
Wouldn't I? I killed a bloke once, and I'd do it again. Now act as if you're helping me over to the wall. Go on, move.
What good do you think that'll do you?
You'll see. Now do what I say. Now that'll do. Now hand over your rifle.
Not on your life.
Oh, count three. One. Two.
All right. There you are.
Good. Now beat it. Fast.
What are you going to do?
I'm getting over the wall.
The lookout on the tower will see you.
I'll risk that. Now beat it.
The desperate young criminal had won the first round. And now, with a rifle in his hands, he raced to where the ladder was, pushed it against the wall with the aid of a fellow prisoner, and scrambled to the top of the bluestone wall. Of course, he was immediately noticed by the warder in the lookout tower, who fired a warning shot. But Taylor ignored the shot, jumped from the wall, and ran for his life. Again the warder fired, but still the man continued to run. And now the warder had no option but to aim at the fleeing convict. And again a shot rang out. Taylor stumbled, staggered a few steps until he could go no further. And there in the brilliant sunshine, the man who wanted his freedom died. Stanley Taylor's life had never been a happy one. He'd come from a broken home. Before he was 10 years old, he'd been placed in an institution. By the time he was 19, He was the acknowledged leader of a small gang of three. Himself, Jack Milne, who was a year or two older, and Reg Black, a 17-year-old youth. And one afternoon, the three of them were gathered together in a room in East Melbourne.
Righto, Jack. Shut the door.
Shut it yourself.
What did you say?
You heard.
Yeah. Yeah, so I did. And I don't like that kind of talk, see?
So what?
So shut the door.
Yeah. Yeah, all right, I'll shut it. Well, big shot. Satisfied?
Now come and sit down.
Now what?
Now we're all going to have a little talk.
You mean you're going to talk?
What if I do? I run this outfit, don't I? Well, don't I?
Of course he does, Jack. He's the boss.
Do you agree with the kid, Jack?
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose so.
All right, then. Don't try to be funny. Next time I tell you to shut the door, shut it.
Is that all we're going to talk about?
No, it's not. But it's the first thing.
Well, let's have the second.
One of these days I'll do you over, Jack. So help me, I will.
You and who else?
Me and no one else. Just me and one of these.
What have you been getting bullets for?
Never mind. But I've got plenty of them.
But you haven't got a gun.
Nah. What do you suppose this is?
Put it away, will you? I'm scared of guns.
You're scared too, Reg?
I don't reckon we ought to use them. Guns mean trouble.
Not for us, they don't. Unless someone forgets I'm the boss.
Okay, Stan, okay. What are we going to do now you've got it?
You know that place I used to work at?
Some pub or other, wasn't it?
Guest house, up at Eelsville. Well, I know the place backwards. And we're going to do it over.
That doesn't sound like a bad idea to me. Hey, Reg?
I'll be in it.
Well, just a minute, though. What if somebody sees you, Stan? They might recognise you.
That'll be too bad for anyone who does. I got this gun and I'm not frightened to use it.
Gee, Stan, you're pretty good.
I'll say.
Why don't we do like that bloke on the pictures?
What bloke?
The saint. Whenever he does a job, he scrawls a sign on the wall or something. Sort of trademark-like.
Yeah. Yeah, we could do something like that. Couldn't we, Jack?
Yeah. I know. We'll get a bit of chalk and draw one of those swastika things on the wall. Just before we leave.
Right.
When do we go?
Tomorrow night. We'll meet under the clocks at the Flinders Street station at 6 o'clock sharp.
And so they did. And they caught the train to Hillsville and then made their way to the guest house on the edge of the town. It was a rambling two-storied building set back in large grounds. And Taylor quickly led them to an upstairs room he'd chosen as their temporary headquarters.
In there, quick.
No one's heard us so far. Now, this is what we do. You do the rooms on the left of the passage, Jack.
Yeah.
And you do the ones on the right, Reg.
Okay. What are you going to do?
I'll hang around just outside this door. If anyone comes nosing about, I'll fix them. Right?
No. I don't want any shooting. If anyone comes, let's just make a run for it.
Are you getting cold feet, Jack?
No, but shooting's not in my line.
You are getting cold feet.
No. No, I'm not.
You wouldn't turn copper, would you?
Don't be silly.
It's all right, then. Now, get going, both of you. Grab suitcases from the first rooms you go to. Bring them back here, and then when you get the other stuff, we'll pack them.
Yeah.
Okay.
See that you don't make any noise, and go as fast as you can. I want to be out of this place in half an hour. That's about all we can get into this case, isn't it, Reg?
Yeah.
Yeah, then kneel on it while I shut the lock.
Righto.
to. You don't suppose he's walked out on us, do you?
Of course not.
Oh, I wouldn't be so sure. Starting to be sorry we ever brought him with us.
Oh, Jack's all right.
He'd better be.
There he is now.
I hope so. Open the door while I keep it covered.
Yeah. That you, Jack?
Yeah.
Okay, come in.
Where the heck have you been?
Where do you think?
I said to be quick.
Ah, shut up, will you? I've got plenty of good stuff.
All right, let's get it packed. Give me a hand, Ridge. I'll chalk the swastika on the door, and then we can clear out.
That's over. I'm mighty glad to be out of that place.
I don't like the way you talk, Jack. I still reckon you might turn copper.
Why should I?
Because you're yellow. That's why.
No, I'm not. I'm just a bit nervous, that's all. But it'll be over soon.
Yeah. Yeah, it will. Hey, Reg.
Yeah?
These cases are getting a bit heavy, aren't they?
Oh, say they are.
Now, let's put them down here for a bit. You stay and watch them. Jack can come with me.
Where to?
There's a bloke I know around here. He's got a truck. Reckon he'd drive us to the station.
Can you trust him?
What do you take me for, a mug? Course I can trust him. Come on, we'll cut over this paddock. You wait here till we come back, Reg.
Righto.
We got far to go?
You haven't.
Hey?
I don't like nervous blokes, Jack.
Stan!
So this will see to it that no. You never squeal.
No! No, Stan, don't!
No use running, sport. That ought to have fixed you, mate. But here's just one more to make sure. Yeah.
Standing so close that the flash of the powder set Jack Milne's clothing alight, Stanley Taylor fired a third bullet into his companion. And then, stopping only long enough to put out the smouldering clothes, he hurried back to the startled Reg Black, who waited on the road with the suitcases. In just a few moments, we'll continue this true story from the files of the Victoria Police. This is a true story from the files of the Victoria Police. Only names, place names, and dates have been altered. After killing his companion, Stanley Taylor rejoined Reg Black, and the two young men returned to the city. The robbery at the guest house was soon discovered, but the body of Jack Milne remained hidden in the undergrowth. Detectives investigated the robbery, but found no useful clues. The next day, Taylor and Black spent the afternoon in a city fun parlor, confident that they'd got away with the burglary and the murder. Suddenly, a tall figure stood beside them.
Oh, move away a bit, can't you, mate? Give a man a go at this machine. Not that you can win on the rotten thing.
I'll say you can't.
Why bother to play it? Haven't you got anything better to do?
What's it to you? We can do as we like. Now go hopping.
Just a minute. I'm Detective Abbott, Russell Street CIB. What are your names?
Hey, what is this? Can't a man come in here and amuse himself without policemen asking a lot of questions?
Any reason why you shouldn't give me your names?
No.
And what are they?
I'm Harry Brown and he's Elf Jackson.
Where do you live?
Clarendon Street.
What number?
Well, I don't know. Just up from George Street.
Both of you live there?
Yeah. Now, what about leaving us alone?
All right. Just a routine check.
Oh, what a nerve he's got.
Reckon he knows anything?
Oh, do you think he'd just walk away if he did? Nah. Let's get on with the game and forget the great big mug.
But Detective Abbott was anything but a great big mug, as the two young men were to find out sometime later. It was nearly a week after the murder that Stanley Taylor and his girlfriend Rita Scott were strolling down Collins Street when his attention was attracted by the cry of a newsboy.
Last edition, paper, paper, murder at Aylesville, paper, read about the murder at Aylesville.
Just a minute, Rita.
Oh, what?
Read about the murder at
Give us a paper,
Aylesville.
Son. Quick.
Hey, Paper, murder at Aylesville. Paper, read about the murder at Aylesville. Paper,
Let's find somewhere where we can talk, Rita.
What's wrong with you?
Never mind about that. I've got to talk to you.
But we're going to the pictures.
Stop arguing and come with me. There's a cafe just around the corner.
Oh, all right. I don't know what's come over you these days, Stan Taylor. Truly, I don't. Half the time, you're like a cat on hot bricks.
Just be quiet, will you, and get inside that cafe.
All right, there's no need to push.
That table over near the window will do.
Now. What's all the fuss about?
Don't talk so loud. Wait till I have a look at this paper.
Oh, you make me tired. Really, you do. Say you want to talk and now you just read the paper.
Well, here. You read it yourself.
No, thanks.
Read it. That bit in the left-hand column.
What? About the murder?
Yeah.
Well, what about it?
I did it.
Eh?
Not so loud. I did it, I tell you.
Who was it?
Jackie Milne.
Yeah, but why?
Oh, we were doing a job up Earsville way. Jackie Milne, Reg Black and me. Jackie got scared and I reckon he'd have turned copper. So I shot him.
Oh, you're a fool, Stan.
No, I'm not. They'll never get me for it. But you got to help.
Wow.
By saying I was with you if they picked me up.
Yeah, but Well, I've never been mixed up in this sort of thing, Stan.
Well, you are now. You wouldn't squeal, would you?
No, Stan, I wouldn't squeal.
Well, don't forget it. I've still got the gun I used on Jackie Milne. And plenty of bullets. So remember that, Rita. Or I might have to use them again.
It was obvious that Stanley Taylor was becoming worried. But so were the police, for they'd found no clue that might lead them to the murderer. All they felt sure was that somewhere there was a connection between the guest house robbery and the shooting. The next day was Anzac Day, and Detective Abbott was in the CIB muster room before going on duty in the city. A suburban detective was there too, seeking information.
If anyone here knows the whereabouts of Stanley Taylor, let me know, will you? I think he might have had something to do with the housebreaking in South Yarra the other day.
What name do you say?
Stanley Taylor, do you know him?
No, can't say I do. You got a photo of him?
Yes. Here you are. Have a good look at him.
That's Harry Brown.
That's Stanley Taylor. I've known him for years.
Well, I saw that man in the fun parlor only last week. Had a pal with him. Said their names were Harry Brown and Alf Jackson. They also said they lived in Clarendon Street.
Phony names, phony address, I think. Still, we'll check the address. Anyway, you know the man I mean now, so if you see him, bring him in, will you?
And so Detective Abbott went on duty, The streets were lined with people for the Anzac Day march. The bands played and the crowd gave the marching men a rousing welcome. But all the time he watched the march, Detective Abbott was keeping his eyes open for those little incidents that often happen when a big crowd gathers. And suddenly in Burke Street, he saw the man he now knew was Stanley Taylor. The young police officer thought quickly and decided to follow Taylor. Though it was a difficult job in the crowd, he kept to it and eventually saw his quarry enter a residential in a lane in the western end of the city. But now he was faced with a problem.
Do I go in after him or do I go for assistance? If I go in, he might have a few mates with him. If I go away, he might be gone when I come back. Oh, well, not one thing for it. Go in after him.
What do you want?
I want to see Stan Taylor. Is he home?
I think so.
Well, how do I get in?
I'll throw you down the quay. Wait a Jeff.
So far, so good.
Here, catch.
Got it. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Leave it on the hall stand.
Which is Stan's room?
Last on the right, downstairs.
Oh, no, thanks.
Don't forget to leave the key.
Oh, well, here goes. Last on the right, she said. Well, here's the hall stand. Better leave the key. And now, last on the right. This looks like it.
Well, what do you want?
It's that cop!
So it's you. What's the idea?
I want to talk to you about those false names and addresses you gave me the other day. Let's go in.
Yeah. All right.
Now, you did give me false names and addresses, didn't you? You're really Stanley Taylor, aren't you?
All right. So I am. Get your big foot off that suitcase, will you?
Why?
Because I don't like cops' feet on my things, that's why.
Just a minute. You've been doing a bit of travelling, have you?
What do you mean?
All the labels on this case. That label marked Healesville. It looks quite new.
That's my business.
Well, we can talk about that later. Meanwhile, I'm taking both of you to Russell Street.
You realize that at this stage, Detective Abbott had no idea that Taylor had anything to do with the shooting of Jack Milne. But a murderer's conscience plays funny tricks on him. And by the time the trio reached police headquarters, Taylor was convinced the game was up. The detective was due for a big surprise.
Now, Taylor, you and your friend gave me wrong names and addresses the other day, didn't you?
You know that.
Why? Did you have something to hide? I suspect you've been housebreaking. That case that was in your room with the Healesville label on it. Is it yours?
Yeah.
Then you've been to Healesville recently. Well? Have you?
Yeah.
There was a housebreaking at a guest house in Healesville a little over a week ago. You know anything about that? Well?
It's worse than that.
What do you mean?
I killed a man. I shot Jack Milne. Then I killed him.
Detective Abbott had caught a much bigger fish than he bargained for, largely due to his retentive memory and his alertness. It was only later that Abbott discovered how lucky he was to be alive. For in the suitcase he'd put his foot on in Taylor's room was a fully loaded revolver. And Taylor swore that if he'd been able to get it out, he'd have certainly shot the detective. At his subsequent trial, Stanley Taylor made a statement from the dock of the Supreme Court in which he said this.
Gentlemen of the jury, I've never had a chance in life. I spent several years in a home. I was declared a neglected child. In the past few years, I've suffered with severe headaches and fits of dizziness. And I have a very bad temper, which I find it very hard to control. I didn't intend to kill Milne. I had no argument or quarrel with him. I wasn't afraid of him. I didn't know I had shot Milne until Black told me. I think the gun must have gone off by accident. Gentlemen of the jury, I ask you for a chance. If you give me one, it'll be the one chance I've had in life.
But the jury could only bring in a verdict in accordance with the evidence. And Stanley Taylor was found guilty of murder. The death sentence was eventually commuted to one of imprisonment for life. But that was too long for Taylor. And a few years later, he made the desperate attempt to escape from jail, during which he lost his life. And so an unhappy career came to an end. And although no civilized community could tolerate his actions, we may well ask ourselves if individually and collectively we're doing everything possible to see that young men with such unfortunate backgrounds as Stanley Taylor do not drift into a life of crime. Only names, place names, and dates were altered in this true story. It was dramatized from the files of the Victoria Police by Roland Strong, who now says goodbye until the same time next week, when there'll be another true story in this series, D24, which is brought to you by the Victoria Police Force, and produced in the studios of Hector Crawford Productions by Dorothy Crawford.